"Of course, that's what he said," the schismatic archbishop told them all calmly. "There's no wiggle room in God's instructions on this matter, my children. No gray theological areas where scholars and theologians can argue and debate and pass the language. It's not a suggestion, not an invitation, not a proposal. It's a command. It's God's command, just as surely as he has commanded us to keep Wednesdays holy, or to love one another as much as we love ourselves." He shook his head. "And yet, the very fact that I stand here before you in this cathedral is proof the Church of Charis is not obeying the Church's decrees." His voice was hard now, not angry, not denouncing, not even challenging, but unflinching as a sword. "I have been excommunicated by the Grand Vicar," he continued, and tension ratcheted upward in the cathedral as he met that fact head-on. "I have been stripped by him of my priestly status. I have been condemned in absentia for heresy, apostasy, and treason, and sentenced to suffer the punishment of Shula for my manifold crimes and sins. The Church of Charis has risen in revolt against the decrees of the vicarate, of the Grand Inquisitor, of the Grand Vicar himself. We have rejected instructions from the temple. We have defrocked and hanged for murder priests acting in the Grand Inquisitor's name. We have created our own bishops and archbishops, ordained our own priests, and in every corner of the Empire of Charis we have defied Mother Church and dared her to do her worst. We have met her proxies in battle, and we have conquered other lands, even this princedom of Coruscant, by force of arms, in spite of Mother Church's declared will. And I tell you now, it is only a matter of time, and not a great deal of it, before Mother Church declares holy war against the Church of Charis, the Empire of Charis, and any human being, any child of God, who has been so lost to his obedience to Mother Church as to support her enemies. We did not come to you here bearing peace, my children, and I will not pretend we did. No, we come bearing a sword, and that sword is in our hand just as surely as defiance is in our hearts." The stillness was so intense now that Garvey was distantly astounded that it didn't shatter when he inhaled. Stainer let that stillness linger, let it roar in the worshipper's ears. He stood in the stained glass sunlight, wreathed in tendrils of incense, like a lump of stone at the bottom of a deep, cold well of silence. "Yes," he said at last, "we have rejected our obedience to Mother Church, despite God's own order. But there is a reason we've done that, my children. Despite anything you may have heard, the Kingdom of Charis and the Church within Charis did not declare war upon Mother Church." Feet and bodies stirred in protest, but he shook his head sharply, and the stirrings ceased. "Mother Church declared war upon us, my children. She decreed the destruction of Charis, and she used your prince and your navy and your husbands and fathers and sons and brothers to bring that destruction to pass. She launched her attack without warning or declaration. She did not remonstrate with us, never told us we had fallen into doctrinal error, never instructed us in what we might have done better, more obediently. She simply decreed our destruction, that we be broken and shattered and wiped from the record of Safehold's history, that our people be murdered in their own homes, and that those homes be burned above their heads. And so we defended ourselves, protected our homes, our families, from that destruction. And for that, we were pronounced heretics and excommunicate.